بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading from what Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned with regards to the conditions of at-takfir. And we have seen in our previous class that he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that there are four conditions, and we have seen them in general, and that the first one is to affirm and to verify that the statement or the action is in reality disbelief. You need to verify that the statement or the action that has been committed is in reality disbelief according to the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that is the case, then likewise we have seen the second condition as well that the Shaykh he mentioned rahimahullah, and that is to affirm that that individual, he actually committed that action, and that he actually said that statement or did that deed. And to verify, again, to make tathabbut, and to verify that that individual, he actually made that statement or did that action in reality. And the ascription of this action or that statement to that person has been established. The third condition that the Shaykh he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that the evidence must have reached him. Is that the evidence must have reached the individual, and he is aware that this is disbelief, and it's clear for him that the action is impermissible and is the action of kufr, and the one who performs that action or statement will disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. So this evidence, it must have reached him and been established with him without any doubt or without any false interpretation and misinterpretation and the likes like this, or misunderstanding. Likewise, the fourth condition that the Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned with regards to the conditions of a takfir, is that there must be nothing prohibiting the ruling from being applied to that individual. There must be nothing that would prohibit that ruling from being applied to that specific individual. So these are the conditions that are mentioned with regards to takfir al-mu'ayyan, yani for declaring a specific individual to be a disbeliever or to have fallen into disbelief or to have left the deen of al-Islam. So these conditions, they must be present. And we have read some of them. But from the benefits that we see and we review and remember, is that from the most important affairs with regards to this is to make tathabbut, and that is to verify first and foremost. Verify with knowledge according to the Quran and the Sunnah that the action is actually disbelief. Maybe it's a major sin, lesser than disbelief. Maybe it's a great crime, no doubt, but it's not disbelief. It didn't reach that limit. So therefore, this one must verify with regards to this. And likewise, one must also verify that that individual that is being this action or statement is being ascribed to, that he actually did that. And one must make tathabbut and verify these affairs first and foremost. Even if these affairs are established, still the ruling will not be applied directly like this until one must speak with that individual, and it must be clarified to him that what he has fallen into is in reality disbelief, and that the proof has to be established against him. And likewise, that there must be nothing that would prohibit that ruling from being applied to that specific individual. So these are the general conditions that the Shaykh he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. But he mentioned some detail after this, and clarifying each one of these conditions specifically. And we continue to read. And Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, فَإِذَا لَمْ يَثْبُتْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ أَوْ الْفِعْلَ أَوْ التَّرْكَ كُفْرٌ بِمُقْتَضَى دَلَالَةِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَحْكُمَ بِأَنَّهُ كَفَرَ لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ. The Shaykh he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that if it's not established, meaning if it's not affirmed that that statement or that action or leaving off that deed is in reality disbelief according to the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, then it is not permissible for anyone to declare that that person has disbelieved or to state or to rule upon that person with disbelief. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, because this is in reality speaking about Allah without knowledge. This is in reality speaking about Allah without knowledge. You need to, if there's no evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that this person disbelieved, then how could somebody say that he disbelieved? Rather, he must establish the evidence against him. There must be an evidence in the Quran that the action that he performed or the statement that he made was in reality disbelief, according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he's not able to do that, then he were to speak and to claim this ruling against this individual without evidence or proof, that he's speaking about Allah without knowledge. He's speaking about Allah without knowledge. And this is from the worst of all crimes. And this is from the greatest of all sins. So he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and verily Allah, he mentioned in his book, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and say to them, يعني أو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. Say to them that only that my Lord, he has only prohibited or made haram or declared impermissible الفواحش, all actions of indecency and vulgar statements and actions, and likewise from that zina, that which is apparent and that which is hidden, and likewise he has made sin and transgressing without rights. All of this is haram. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And likewise what he has made haram is that one would associate partners with Allah that Allah did not send down no authority or proof for. وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. And that you say about Allah that which you do not know. Many of the ulama have used this verse to clarify the dangers of speaking about Allah without knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the sins in this manner, and he from the least into the least crime into the greatest crime. And he from the least of the sin, and he harrama rabbi al-fawahish, al-fawahish, and that's a major sin. But worse than that, al-ithm and baghi bighayr al-haq, to transgress against the people's rights and to take the rights of others without right, and to harm others and their blood and their honor and their wealth. And likewise, worse than that, making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associating partners with Him in worship and giving His right, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to others from the creation, associating the creation and worship with the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So therefore, this is a major sin. This is a major sin. The one who applies the ruling of disbelief to an individual without clear evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, he's speaking about Allah without knowledge. He's speaking about Allah without knowledge. The Shaykh, he mentioned, وَقَالَ وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. The Shaykh, he mentioned the verse and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not say that which you have no knowledge of. Do not speak without knowledge. Verily the hearing and the seeing and the mind or the heart, all of these will be questioned, and they will be held accountable on the day of resurrection. And either what the person he says and he claims with his tongue, all of these affairs, and how he uses his ears and his eyes, and the way that he uses his heart and his mind, all of these affairs, they will be held accountable. An individual, he'll be held accountable for them on the day of resurrection. وَلَا تَقَفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not say anything that you have no knowledge of. Do not bear witness to something you have no knowledge of. Do not testify to something you have no knowledge of. If somebody is going to speak, they must speak based upon knowledge, especially in the deen of Allah. And if they're going to testify about something, they have to testify about knowledge. And if they're going to testify against someone, then it must be based upon knowledge. Their testification and their testimony must be based upon knowledge. And Allah threatened them that verily these affairs will be asked about them. So this is the issue here, that one must first establish that the statement or the action in reality is disbelief, or leaving that action in reality is disbelief. Somebody, for example, may say, oh, he didn't fast Ramadan. He's not fasting Ramadan. He doesn't fast, it's Ramadan and he's eating. And then somebody may be hasty and then declare him to be a disbeliever based upon that. But the ulama have mentioned, and we have studied in our previous classes, alhamdulillah, and al-usul al-thalatha, and arkan al-islam, that leaving the fasting along with affirming the obligation of fasting does not take one out of Islam. It does not take one out of Islam. He's upon a major sin, and he's upon a foul in a bad way, no doubt about that. But so long as he affirms of the obligation of the fast, and he establishes the prayer and the other rites of Islam, even if he did not fast, and he would not leave Islam with his action. So therefore, a person, he has to understand that to declare a person to be disbeliever, it must be according to the evidence of the Quran and the evidence of the Sunnah. It must be according to the understanding of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith in this matter. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِذَا لَمْ يَثْبُتْ قِيَامُهُ بِالْمُكَلَّفِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ أَنْ يُرْمَى بِهِ بِمُجَرَّدِ الظَّنِّ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And likewise, if this action or statement, and saying, suppose that it's actually affirmed that that deed is disbelief, or that statement is disbelief, he says, rahimahullah, but if it's not affirmed that the individual, al-mukallif, the one who was held responsible, the one who was accountable for his deeds, if it's not affirmed that he actually did that, he performed that action or that statement, then likewise it's not permissible to blame him or accuse him with that, just by having mere suspicion. And from suspicion only, it's not permissible to blame him with that. He says, "Rahimahullah Taala liqaulihi Taala, wala taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm." And do not testify or bear witness, or do not state something, or speak without knowledge. Do not testify or bear witness without knowledge, or about something you have no knowledge of, So the author, he says, Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah Taala, he mentioned the ayah into the end of the verse. وَلِأَنَّهُ يُؤَدِّي إِلَى إِسْتِحْلَالِ دَمِ الْمَعْصُومِ بِلَا حَقٍّ. Because likewise, along with the proof from the evidence, there is a reason likewise, and that is because if one were to claim that a person disbelieved without establishing that upon him properly, without verifying that he actually made that statement or performed that action, then this could lead to making his someone who his blood is sacred and safe, making it permissible, and this would be without right, and this could lead to oppression, because it's not permissible to spill the blood of a Muslim, and to declare him a disbeliever, this is making his blood permissible, and he meaning that it would be allowed for the ruler in a Muslim land to rule against him if disbelief had been affirmed against him and the likes, and he could be killed for that crime, and capital punishment for disbelief in a Muslim land in the courts of a Muslim judge. Of course, not here in America, but this is the case. So therefore, to claim that he's a disbeliever, this is to make his blood permissible in this manner. And so therefore, one must make that claim based upon knowledge and evidence, and it must be verified that that person committed that action. It must be verified that that person committed that action. The Shaykh goes on to mention some important narrations to clarify the dangers of accusing others with disbelief. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُمَرِ وفي الصحيحين من حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أيما امرئ قال لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء بها أحدهما إن كان كما قال وإلا رجعت عليه. The Shaykh says, هذا اللفظ مسلم. He mentioned the narration which is found in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, any individual who says to his brother, and he meaning his Muslim brother, any individual who says to his Muslim brother, O kafir, O you disbeliever, and he calls him a disbeliever, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا, then verily one of them is going to take this statement. One of them is going to take this statement. It's going to be applied to one of them. In kana kama qala, if it's the way that he said, then that individual, he's a disbeliever. If it in reality was true, he was a disbeliever, then that's the case. وَإِلَّا رَجَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ. And if that was not the case, that individual that he claimed to be a disbeliever, and he called him, oh disbeliever, ya kafir, if in reality he did not disbelieve, then that statement will return back to that individual. And he would fall back on him. And this is a great threat. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, that doesn't mean that he will disbelieve. And to claim that an innocent Muslim is a disbeliever, this is not disbelief, but to emphasize the danger of that affair. To emphasize the dangers of this affair, that one would call his Muslim brother a disbeliever without right. And even if this is the case, with regards to cursing somebody, and to calling them names. And he said, not even, for example, not even believing that he's a kafir, but just calling him that because he's mad at him or he doesn't like him. He will call, yeah, kafir. Like this, and he, from Minbabi Ashetim Waseb, from the aspect of calling him names and talking bad about him in his face, and he to put him down. And he, this is not permissible. And this person, he has this threat. Raja'at bihi, wa illa raja'at alayhi, or else it would come back to him if it was not true. If that's the case, if the one who mentioned this statement about his brother and called him a disbeliever just from the aspect of cursing and calling bad names and talking bad about somebody, how about for the one who really believed that? And he actually believed that that individual was a disbeliever. In his heart, he believed that he disbelieved, and he did not disbelieve, and he was free from that claim. And he was free from that claim. Then the affair would be even more severe. The affair would be even more severe. So we see likewise, Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another evidence, and he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي ذَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ لَا يَرْمِي رَجُلٌ رَجُلًا بِالْفُسُوقِ وَلَا يَرْمِيهِ بِالْكُفْرِ إِلَّا ارْتَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ صَاحِبُهُ كَذَلِكَ أَخْرَجَهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَلِمُسْلِمٍ مَعْنَاهُ. So he says here from the hadith of Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhu, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that no man will accuse another man of corruption, of sin, and disobedience, and nor will he accuse him of disbelief, except that it will come back to him. And that claim will return to him. If it is not, if his companion or if that individual that he is claiming that about is not truly the way that he has claimed, is not, if he's not really a fasiq, and he called him a fasiq, it will come back to him. He is the one who committed the fisq. And if he's a kafir, if he calls him a kafir, and he's not really a kafir, the statement comes back to him. The statement comes back to him. And so he isn't the one who is in danger. He is the one who's committing the crime, not that individual. So this is a clear clarification of the danger of calling a Muslim a disbeliever without knowledge, calling a Muslim a disbeliever without verifying, calling a Muslim even a fasiq before that, not even disbeliever, without any evidence or proof and verification. And so this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned about. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says that this hadith here is in Bukhari. And likewise, that Imam Muslim, he has a similar narration with the same meaning. A similar narration with the same meaning. So this is with regards to the first two conditions. There must be verification that the action or the deed or the statement in reality is disbelief, or that that person, he left off something that is disbelief for the one, that will cause a person to disbelieve. That must be established. Even if that's established, that that action or statement is such, one must also fulfill the second condition, and that is to affirm that that person did that, to verify that it actually occurred from that individual specifically. This is what the Shaykh has mentioned so far. He mentions now, rahimahullah ta'ala, about the third condition. He says, وَإِذَا لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُ الْحُجَّةُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُحْكَمُ بِكُفْرِهِ. And if the evidence did not reach him, then verily it will not be ruled against him with disbelief. And he will not be declared a disbeliever. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. Because of the statement of Allah, the Most High. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. And this Qur'an has been revealed to me so that I can warn you with it. So that I can warn you by way of it, and also those who it reaches. And also those who it reaches. And to warn those people who are amongst him in his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise those whom the Qur'an reaches. And he has reached us. Alhamdulillah. وَوْحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And also the evidence from for this is the statement of Allah the Most High. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا وَمَا كُنَّا مُهْلِكِ الْقُرَى إِلَّا وَأَهْلُهَا ظَالِمُونَ. And also an evidence for this, I mean, the fact that the proof must reach the individual, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and your Lord is not going to destroy a village, any people, until he sends to them a messenger reciting to him his verse, reciting to them his verses. And we are not going to destroy a people, a village, except whenever there the people of that village are oppressors. And meaning whenever they're doing their sin clearly, and they are oppressing and transgressing the limits based upon knowledge. Naam, and then the Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ رُسُولًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِيَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. And likewise, the evidence for the fact that the ruling of disbelief will not be declared upon an individual specifically until the proof reaches him, the statement of Allah the Most High, the verity we have revealed to you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to verily we have revealed to you, just as we have revealed to Nuh and the prophets after him, all the way to the statement of Allah the Most High, Rusulan Mubashirina wa Mundirin. We have sent messengers, they have been sent, giving glad tidings and warning. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ, so that there will not be a proof for mankind against Allah, بعد الرسل, after the coming of the messengers. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا, and verily Allah, He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and also clarifying the evidences for this issue, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. The Shaykh, he mentioned, رحمه ta'ala, and we will not punish a people until we send them a messenger. Until we send them a messenger. So this is all clear that the proof must be established against an individual before the ruling is declared against him specifically. Maybe it's verified and the action or statement is truly disbelief. Maybe, possibly, it's verified that that individual, he committed that statement, or he committed that crime, he said that statement, or committed that action. But even after that, one will not hasten to apply the ruling to him specifically before first clarifying to that individual, before first clarifying to that individual and mentioning the proofs and evidences for him in the Quran and the Sunnah, clarifying to him clearly that what he has done is an action of disbelief. And so the evidences must come. The Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, وَفِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ, and it's been narrated in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurayrah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who the soul of Muhammad is in his hands, لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, that no one will hear about me from this ummah. The Shaykh, he mentioned, yani ummah al-da'wah, from the ummah of da'wah. Yani the ummah of every prophet is two types. The ummah of da'wah, those who have been called, and for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all mankind. And those who accept the call, and that's called ummah al-istijabah. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min hadhihi al-ummah ay ummah al-da'wah. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, يعني أمة الدعوة, and those who have been called to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, this includes all mankind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I swear by the one who Muhammad's soul is in his hand, that no one from this ummah, and no one after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the day of resurrection, hears about me. يهوديٌ ولا نصراني, no Jew nor a Christian. ثم يموت ولم يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به إلا كان من أصحاب النار, and then he died, whether he's a Jew or a Christian, and then he died, and he did not believe in that which I was sent with, except that he will be from the people of the fire. Except that he will be from the people of the fire. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, لكن إن كان من لم تبلغه الحجة لا يدين بدين الإسلام فإنه لا يعامل في الدنيا معاملة المسلم وأما في الآخرة فأصح الأقوال فيه أن أمره إلى الله تعالى. As for the one who in this life the proof did not reach him, and he, in the case of a person who the proof did not reach him, and he, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reach him in this manner, then and he did not follow the religion of Islam, then verily in this life he will not be dealt with the way of a Muslim. And as for in the hereafter, then what is correct from the statements of the people of knowledge is that his affair is to Allah. That his affair is to Allah. And Allah will do what he wills with him, whether he punishes him or whether he shows him mercy. So this is any extra any benefit he mentioned any on the side. And not directly related to our topic. But he mentioned that to clarify the hadith. So the point is that no one hears in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no one from this ummah who hears about me. Yani meaning that the proof has come to him. who hears about me. He hears about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he did not believe after that. He disbelieved after that. And he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and heard what he was upon and what he called to, and about his deen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he did not believe in that. He disbelieved in that. And he, after the proof reached him, then at this time he will be from the people of the fire. He will be from the people of the fire. The Shaykh, he mentions here, and he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِذَا تَمَّتْ هَذِي الشُّرُوطَ الثَّلَاثَةُ أَعْنِي ثَبُوتَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ أَوْ الْفِعْلَ أَوْ تَرْكَ كُفْرٌ بِمُقْتَضَى دِلَالَةِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَأَنَّهُ قَامَ بِالْمُكَلَّفِ وَأَنَّ الْمُكَلَّفَ قَدْ بَلَغَتْهُ الْحُجَّةُ وَلَكِنْ وُجِدَ مَانِعُ التَّكْفِيرِ فِي حَقِّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُكَفَّرُ لِوُجُودِ الْمَانِعِ.
He says here to clarify, because he mentioned four conditions. So he says here, rahimahullah ta'ala, that if these three conditions are as verified, that any they are present, he says, I mean that the condition that the statement or the action or the thing that he left off in reality is clearly disbelief according to the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. And also it's verified and established that that individual, he performed that action. And also it's verified and established that the proof reached that individual as well. He says, but with regards to this specific individual, if there is something that would prohibit the ruling being applied for him, then verily he will not be declared a disbeliever because of that prohibitor, and because of that reason that prohibits that ruling from being applied to him specifically. So now a question arises clearly. What are these things that will prohibit the ruling after it's established that it's disbelief, and after it's established that the person committed the action, and after it's established that he knows and the proof reached him? What is something that will prohibit the ruling from being applied to him? The Shaykh, he says, فَمِن مَوَانِعِ التَّكْفِيرِ, from the prohibitors of a takfir, or the things that would prohibit the ruling of takfir from being applied to a specific individual, الْإِكْرَاهُ فَإِذَا أُكْرِهَ عَلَى الْكُفْرِ فَكَفَرَ وَكَانَ قَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنًا بِالْإِيمَانِ لَمْ يُحْكَمْ بِكُفْرِهِ لِوَجُودِ الْمَعْنِ وَهُوَ الْإِكْرَاهُ. He says the first mani, or thing that would prohibit the ruling from being applied to that specific individual, is if he was forced or coerced. Al-ikrah. Nam al-ikrah. So if he was forced to disbelieve and he made an action or statement of disbelief, but his heart is sincerely humble, or his heart is satisfied with faith and he's really a believer, in his heart he believes and he does not want to commit that action or say that statement, but he's forced to from coercion and he out of force, then the ruling of disbelief will not be applied to him, because there is something that would prohibit that ruling from being applied to him, and that he has been forced. And is that he has been forced. He says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, he says, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those who disbelieve after they have had faith, and he's referring to those and who disbelieve after they had faith, except those who were forced to disbelieve and their heart is tranquil with faith, with iman, and then their heart is tranquil with iman, but they're forced to commit an action of disbelief. But rather what he's speaking of is the one who his heart or his chest is satisfied with disbelief, then verily upon this individual will be the anger of Allah, and they will have a severe and a great punishment, and a great punishment. So here there's an exception here for the one who is mukrah, the one who is coerced or is forced to do an action that he is not pleased with himself and that his heart is not content with and that he does not want to do, but he does it out of force, then he does not disbelieve. Then he does not disbelieve. The Shaykh, he mentions likewise, وَمِن مُوَانِعِ التَّكْفِيرِ, and also from the things that will prohibit the ruling of a takfir being applied to a specific individual. And يغلق على المرء قصده فلا يدري ما يقول لشدة فرح أو حزن أو خوف أو غير ذلك لقوله تعالى وليس عليكم جناح فيما أخطأتم به ولكن ما تعمدت قلوبكم وكان الله غفور رحيم. So also from those things that will prohibit takfir from being applied to a specific individual is that his intention, his mind could be blocked at a certain time, and he could make a statement that he did not intend, and his intention is not correct because his mind cannot think properly, and he would say something because of how severely happy he is, or how severely sad he is, or because of severe fear. At this time, his mind, he loses any control of his mind or his attention, and he says something that he did not mean because of this reason. And so he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High that except for there's no blame upon you if you made a mistake. Yeah, there's no blame upon you if you made a mistake. Somebody got very, very happy and he said something, he said it backwards, for example. And there's evidence in this that the Shaykh is going to mention in the Sunnah. In the Sunnah, somebody who said something, he didn't mean to say it. He said it on accident. He made a statement of disbelief on accident because he's so happy. Or even if somebody is so afraid or somebody was so sad, likewise, similarly, the situation is similar. There's no blame upon you if you made a mistake, but rather that which your hearts have intended. In verity, Allah, He is most forgiving and merciful. So the Shaykh is going to mention the narration, and we have to close now for Salah, but I just summarize it and we read it tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. And there was a man who was about to die, and he lost his camel and his property in the middle of the desert. And whenever he had gave up hope in finding it, all of a sudden he went to sleep. And then whenever he woke up, and his camel is there with all of his stuff standing above him, out of his severe happiness and joy for his situation, how he had been saved, he said about Allah, "You are my slave and I am your Lord." That's what he said. "You are my slave, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Akhta'a min shiddat al-farah." He made a mistake because he is so happy, yani in this circumstance. So therefore, he didn't mean to say that. He meant to say that you are my Lord and I am your slave. But he said it backwards because of his extreme happiness and joy at that moment. So therefore, he's not held accountable for that. So these are some of the mawani', and the Shaykh will mention more, inshallah, we continue in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.